Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Corey, of course, I'm sitting with my best friend Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, brother?
Nah, dude, I'm excited. I'm humbled. I'm everything. You know, we just completed Presley Poe and Friends, and you know, what's the date today, Tony?
The 10th, April 10th.
Okay, so today's April 10th, and our show was on March 25th, and literally yesterday there was another post about our show. I can't believe in like. I'm humbled. When you plan these things out, you never know how people are going to respond to it. And here we are literally 15 days later and people are still talking about the event, which like blows me away beyond belief.
And you know, when you kind of read the posts and things like that, it's exactly what we wanted Presley Poe and Friends to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People networking, connecting, making new friends, and just really just taking the experience and making it your own and taking it and creating what you want out of it. And man, it blew my mind, you know, when you read these posts and how it really has impacted them.
It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, from day one, when we started this, even when we talked to Presley about it, like we wanted to create like a great event for the artist, a great event for the brands, and a great event for the attendees, you know. And for the attendees, you know, we've been lucky enough to bring some of the best educators in the country together. So I think, you know, that's a big win for them. But like, even like this year we had Sam Villa and Rebecca Taylor there. And even what they had to say to us after the event and how this event is so much different and so needed in the industry, dude. It's just like, it's so cool to be able to make a great event. And by the way, Katie May, our third wheel, gets 1,000% credit because she's the one that put it. She kind of organizes it all. You know, we're just kind of the pretty face and she's definitely the brain behind that event.
That's first.
yeah, exactly.
But for me, I think that the cherry on top is when the artists, especially the Sam Villas and the Rebeccas and, you know, saying, I would do this again.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, can I do it next year? Well, I think was a response from those two. So, you're right. That's incredible. So, I'm beyond humbled. Everybody that attended, thank you very, very much. Everybody that didn't attend that wants to, dude, the FOMO was worth it. I promise you, it's an incredible event. It's different than any other kind of hair show that you'll go to. You know what the difference is it's about them. It's about the attendees, and it's not about the brands. It's not about the artists. It's not about whatever. And the focus is really the attendees and how we can impact them. And
we got to thank our sponsors too, because without them, this, you know, we couldn't do it. And it's not like, you know, when you go to a lot of shows and, you know, these big brands are, they're trying to sell or push, because that's what they do, right? At these big events here, they are participants behind the scenes, mm-hmm. making this educational experience amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And
they're giving you opportunities to purchase at a, you know, these products at a discount if you want to, right? And we definitely encourage to take advantage of that, because that helps them to come back next year. But we got to get a big shout out to them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, these brands that are doing our show in particular, like it by them doing our show, it proves to me that they're here for the hairstylist experience, right? They're here for the hairstylist. They're here for you guys, and they want to make it a special event too. All right, enough about that. Should we get in? Let's chat a little bit. So our guest today is Ambrosia Carey. Ambrosia and I have been talking, I don't know, for a couple of years or so. For whatever reason, we've never been able to kind of get together to do a podcast, but here we are. So we're making it happen today. Excitingly, is Ambrosia has a podcast, and we'll get into that a little bit.
You'll know why it took a couple of years, because once she talks about all the things that she's doing,
right?
Oh my God, we're grateful that she has a few minutes to kind of talk to us. But
the hardest working woman in the industry, right?
Oh my God, she is busy.
Should we get in?
Yeah,
Miss Ambrosia Carey, welcome to your day off, man.
Hey guys, so good to see you, chat with you, and hear all the things. Yes, I was one of those who had FOMO for sure. So I'm definitely gonna have to make sure I make it to Presley Poe and Friends. And Presley and I go back. She actually worked in my salon for a few years, and I've just watched the growth and the ladder that she's created and stuff. And just like major props to her. And I enjoy you guys. Like, I don't know how we haven't been in the same room together, but we got to figure out how to make that happen, because I love what you guys are all about and what you're doing. The fact that you're behind the chair and you're just elevating other people in the industry, like, hats off to you. I think that's amazing.
Well, you know, like when we first started this, like there's so much, and we all see it, and it's not a criticism necessarily, but like there's so much stuff on social media just about like just negative words and stuff. And Tony and I, the only reason we want to do this is to elevate the industry. The only reason we want to do this is to create a positive space for the industry. Like that's why we're doing this. Like you'll rarely hear us get on a soapbox. You'll rarely hear us kind of complain about the industry. You know, sometimes I complain about stuff like we can be better. You know, we don't have to, you know, chat about whatever negativeness is in the world, but we just want to create a space where there is we can share, you know, the positive of the industry, because in my eyes there's much more of that to share, and I think that kind of the negative stuff is just kind of an easy spot to kind of slip into.
I couldn't agree more. And there's plenty of negativity in this world. Let's not like contribute to that. I think there's so many other ways to elevate. And I think social media right now, it's just kind of a weird space right now. I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of friends. We all agree. And then when you talk about hair shows too, it's like you're back in like high school again. Everyone kind of congregates to their like little spaces and stuff. So podcast is a great space to just be a little bit more unplugged and uncovered and just be able to have more vulnerable conversations. And that's why I like it too. So I'm in that space with you guys. Like, let's do this. Let's just like give some space for other people to feel like they can cultivate the type of relationships that they're really looking for, and to find the people that are going to help elevate that experience as well. So I'm into this, guys.
Awesome. Awesome. And Brosia, where are you from?
So I'm from Phoenix, Arizona originally, but I live here in Portland, Oregon. I have a salon here. We have a mid-sized team, 13 stylists and, 3 front desk members. We even have a nail tech, and she actually like came as a fixture with the salon when I bought in. She's been in the salon longer than I've actually been alive. So we call her Aunt Bonnie, because Bonnie, she's been in the industry for a very long time. And I feel like I feel really honored and special to have such a, it feels like a sacred space for me, because everyone there is so uniquely different, and they all are obsessed with ongoing education, and it's been a lot of fun. So my salon is here. I started as a teen mom, and that's kind of what kept me rooted here in Portland, Oregon. And I love to travel. I love to experience different parts of the industry. I'm very passionate about the business side of the industry now. So I've been trying to give back in any way that I can. I love talking to students and visiting beauty schools. So that's kind of the cadence that I've been keeping up with lately.
How did you find the industry?
It's kind of a funny story, actually. So I was going to school to get my marketing degree, and I was visiting my sister-in-law who did hair in the salon, and she talked me into doing highlights. I was nervous to get highlights done because I was one of those like victims of frosting caps and like all the home things and turning your hair just like bright orange, that I was just like, ooh, I don't know if I want to do this. She said, what if I told you I can make your hair like a nice natural looking color and it won't be orange? And I said, well, okay, let's try it. So as I'm sitting in the salon, she's doing my hair, and I'm looking around at these stylists, and I see that some of these stylists are just hustling. Like there's a buzz going on. The energy was infectious. I loved seeing that. But I also noticed there were a couple stylists who were not quite so busy. So I started talking to my sister-in-law and asking her, so what is it like here? What is it like to be a hairstylist? And she'd been doing hair for a very long time. She kind of started explaining to me just like how the relationships were built and how her style, like how the stylists in the environment, some of the stylists were like super artistic and they haven't found the right kind of clients. So when she said the word right kind of clients, I associated that more with the marketing side of the industry. And that really perked my ears up. Well, fast forward to the end of the actual service, and she did a beautiful job with the highlights. I was really inspired. And then she leans into me and she said, "Why don't you do hair?" And I was like, "Ooh, I don't know if I really want to touch other people's heads." And, you know, that kind of grossed me out at the time. But what's interesting is she said, "You know, you should really just consider going to beauty school. I just feel like you could be so phenomenal at doing this." And she said, "It sounds like you understand how the law of color works, and the law of color is universal." She said, "You should try it out and just see how it goes." So fast forward today, I actually ended up buying that salon. It's so weird to even say it out loud because it wasn't something I meant to do. But 8 years ago, I met the then owner who we had like a dinner party together, and I met her there, and she just asked me if I was interested in buying the salon. And it's like, it's so weird how the universe works. But this was 24 years ago when I was in that salon getting my hair done, and my sister-in-law inspired me to join the industry. You guys, I mean, I thought it was just going to be a push off to go back into business school, but ended up not being. And it's been a very, it's been an amazing career. It's been an amazing journey. I just love this industry.
So that salon was in Portland.
Yeah.
So how did you go from Arizona to Portland?
Well, actually my whole family was in tech. They all worked at Intel. I was the misfit who didn't, I'm like sitting in a cubicle almost like makes my eye twitch. I couldn't even imagine doing that. So I was like, "You guys do that and I'll do your hair." I've always wanted to do something creative. And it's funny because I think there's a misunderstanding about marketing when I talk to other people. They're like, "So why marketing? What does it have to do with hair?" But it actually has everything to do with it because it's your story. It's an ongoing, it's really sewing the relationships with the right kind of people. So the reason why marketing and the hair industry really caught me, and it's something that has been so good to me, is that when I was able to really work on the relationships with the clients and the people around me, like you guys, for instance, we would never meet in any other condition, but we both have such a strong passion for hair, and we want to create like and cultivate those really amazing leadership skills. And we want to make sure that we're leading our industry, want to leave it in a better place than where we started. So that piece of that story and syncing up with the right people that also want to do that and want to spread that word, that's marketing. So that's the reason why it's been important to me. But yeah, definitely was not going to be sitting in a cubicle. I'm not super tech savvy as much as I try to be. And I take all the classes and watch all the YouTube university videos and stuff. But for sure, like, yeah, that's what moved us here from Arizona originally. But I've been here since I was a little girl. So I'm definitely an Oregonian through and through.
That's nice. Wow. You know, I often counsel people that like when they're going to college, no one ever takes me up on it. However, you know, I'll keep counseling people like I think like marketing and a business degree, even if they're as minors, like I think that they're so important, especially with like the world that we're getting into. You know, I mean, I almost think it's more important than tech, because even tech needs the support of both business and marketing. You know, as far as the business goes, like, even if you're, no matter what your career is, you need to understand how business works and how you can bring value to that business or not bring value to that business, and understand how that works. And marketing, I wish I had a better understanding of it, you know, because social media is marketing, you know, it shouldn't be social media. It should be social marketing, because that's what it is. You know, we like to pretend like it's something else, but that's exactly what it is. Certainly if you're using it for your business. So anyways, I advise everyone to take those two, at least minors or at least take some classes in it.
I agree. I think there needs to be like a little bit, there's a stigma that's attached to business and marketing. And I think sometimes people think, or they overthink it. It's really easy to say like, "Oh, I'm not good at marketing," but you really are. I mean, you're good with people and you're good at understanding your business and what it doesn't have to do with just profit. The profit is the aftermath. The profit is the after fact. So I think sometimes just like removing that stigma and more attaching it to the emotional brain, because that is what speaks to the hairstylist. A lot of us we understand things when it's more emotional, but the emotional side of it is just really finding your people and understanding how you can grow. And when I hear things like burnout, we were talking about that before we got on here. A lot of stylists talk about burnout and they focus so much on it, but it's like you hit burnout because somewhere in there, you lost sight of what inspires you. So if we're constantly giving back to the things that inspires us, that's the fastest and easiest way to wiggle out of that. And I think it's really important that we kind of like focus on that piece of it, because rather than focusing on the negative part, which is the burnout, that's the aftermath, let's focus on the things that can get us out of that. So that way we can continue to grow. And instead of growing outward, can we grow upward? So I think it's just kind of getting a little bit deeper, not wider. And that's the thing that I'm really passionate about. And I feel like this is like the last part. I feel like that's the last thing that I want to leave our industry with. And that's why it's so important for me to reach more hairstylists and to talk to other people, and especially to leaders. How can you lead better? How can you guide other people who want to have a creative journey and make money doing it and not feel like it's so much work, not feel like it's so hard? So if it feels hard, it's probably because you are pushed, you're not tapping deeply enough into that emotional piece. So I feel like if we talk more about the emotion of business and marketing, it's something that might feel a little bit easier for us, but also it won't feel so disconnected. Like, I think sometimes people just focus too much on the businessy part of it, where right. business is, it doesn't have to be that way, you know? So that's, I think that's the reason why it's become more important for me over the past decade.
I love that. You know, I love just a different approach to it.
Yeah. I love what you said earlier is like burnout, because you lost focus of where you want to go. And that is so spot on, because when I made the transition from where I was to where I am now, working with this guy, I felt like, am I burning myself out doing hair? Am I losing my passion for it? And when I changed my situation, the passion, the love going to work, the love of my clients, it was all there. I just somehow lost the sight of that, you know, because for whatever reason, I was distracted from that and just made me, I felt like I was burnt out, but it was just my situation. It was,
you know,
weird.
I hope I can share this story. So I'm not going to give names, but you know, the first time that we worked together, we worked with somebody who was a terrible negative Nancy and was like almost bullying me in a weird way. Like every day was like, you know, just being kind of rude and stuff. And like, I thought the same thing. I thought I no longer like doing hair. I thought that I needed to find something new. I felt like, yeah, every morning was when I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh, I gotta go to work, you know? But then when we left that salon, immediately, like all that stuff came back, right? Immediately, all that passion came back. Immediately, like, oh, it wasn't, it was something else, you know? And then I had to kind of explore what that something else is. But I don't know where I was going with that. But anyways, I understand what that feels like. You know, you new wings give you new wings.
Well, yeah, you get distracted, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Actually, I think where you're going with that is that you're a product of your environment. So I think it's important to kind of feed into that emotional piece. And it's really easy to ignore it because it's like you're focusing on the client, you're focusing on other things. But really, if you're tapping a little bit deeper into like your core values and the things that matter to you, then that's what lets your creativity soar. That's what gets you excited. And it radiates that passion. It actually invites the right kind of people in. And it also lets you be a part of a team that has been cultivated carefully that fits you as well. So, I mean, I think that's where you're going with it, maybe.
Probably,
but yeah. I think it's, yeah. And I actually have a similar story. I worked for a salon and, you know, education was through the roof. It was amazing. I have to give props to them with that. I think, unfortunately, they were a little too focused on the numbers and that kind of like, you know, we had indicators that we had to focus on. And I still have indicators in my salon too, because I think it's good to have some benchmarks that you can focus on. That's how you are able to kind of like set goal. Like one of my taglines is dream big, set goals, take action. You can't take action on a goal if you haven't like set those goals and have something in mind for those benchmarks. However, this salon focused so heavily on it that they would reward you with the lowest benchmark. So if you had four indicators and let's say my retail percentage is at 50%, 60%, let's say I'm my average dollar for the client is at 170 per ticket, but my rebooking percentage is at 89%, but then I'm like seeing seven clients instead of nine. And so I get I get punished for it basically. So I think it's really important that we have to focus on the things that people excel in. And that's the thing that I'm super passionate about, because we're not cookie cutter. You know, it's like, you're not going to do everything really well, but the things that you do well in, if you were to get rewarded for those things, would it make you actually want to lean into that more? I would like to think so. And that's kind of like what helped me cultivate the team that we have now in the salon. And I have to say, I'm inspired by them every day. It's amazing. I mean, there's some people that are, they're just simply better at some things than I am. And that is where the magic is. You have to be around people that are going to be better at some things than you are, and trying to gobble all that up and be amazing at every single thing. That is what kills that creativity. And that's also what kills the passion. And that's where you hit burnout. So I don't know, just to come full circle with that.
I think Gary Vaynerchuk talks about that. You know, he goes, don't lean into what you're bad at, lean into what you're good at. You know, like, forget what you're bad at. There's other people to pick that up, but really lean into what you're great at. And then that will, to your point, you know, I think we avoid burnout and stuff. Hey, Ambrosia, I want to have a conversation about hustle culture, and certainly the way that we've been talking about it the last couple of years. Here's what I'm fearful of. Now, granted, you know, we grew up in the 80s and 90s, and it was all about hustle. And honestly, it's the only way that I know to go. And my fear is that if we start stigmatizing like hustling, or if we're using it as an excuse not to work, I fear that some people are going to get left behind. You know, and some people are going to not reach their potential or not reach their growth. Now, with that being said, I absolutely agree that we need to have better boundaries as far as like home life and taking care of oneself, you know, but I still think we need to hustle. We need to put the work in. That's my opinion. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
I think hustle can have different faces. It doesn't mean that you have to be just like grinding all the time. And one of my favorite analogies that actually my business partner uses is either you're residential or freeway, and you don't have to choose one lane or another. There's just like, when you have different paths to get somewhere, sometimes you're going to be on the freeway and sometimes you have to, you know, go the speed limit of residential. So I think what's important is that if you're in that hustle mode and you're on the freeway, if you don't have a destination in mind and you're just speeding along, then you're going to run out of gas, right? So it's just like, I like to think of that analogy whenever I'm in that hustle mode. Is there intention behind this? Do I have purpose behind this? Is it just about me doing more? Because it's easy to find things to do. Like, that's not the problem. But if you're doing a lot of the things that are not feeding back into you, or there's not a purpose or intention behind it, then where are you going to end up? You're going to end up with burnout, probably. So I, so you good. Know, I always, I like that too. Right?
I'm going to call you. I would like be my motivation pep talk every morning. That is so spot on.
That's her morning post now. She's just going to like post every morning about like motivating you to, you know.
But you're getting that hustle lane and you're going full throttle. And sometimes you have no clue where you're going. You're just going. Going, and man, that is good.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes I'm on my laptop and my eyes are like, I'm tired. I'm not in my best self. And I'm just trying to force myself to get something done. And the creativity is not flowing, or for whatever reason, I just feel like I got to push myself. And that's not a good place to be either. So sometimes I do check in with myself. Like, am I in the right headspace for this? And if the answer is even in question, I got to close it down and try again the next day. And so I did learn that I am just a lot more productive in the mornings, and I am not a morning person. So I have to actually force myself to get up in the mornings. I set my alarm for 6 a.m. every single morning, and that is when I get the most done. And I have realized that the afternoon I do hit that mode where I'm just like, okay, I'm dragging, I'm a little sluggish. And that's a time that I have to go into that residential mode. And I think it's important that we do that. That's kind of where my version of balance is. So for those of you guys listening, I would just invite you to sit down and write out, like, literally in two columns, like highway, residential, and where do you need to be within those two places, and what would feed those, that part of it. Like, think of it like refilling your gas and going home and being around your neighborhood or the place, your favorite places to go, or your, you know, your friend's house, the bar down the road, you know, your gym, the residential side, what are the things that feed back into you and what are the things that you need to do to recover from it? And write those out, because if it feels like you're forcing it, maybe you're just in the wrong lane right now and it's okay. Like, put that on, just save that for another day or for another time that you're in that mode. And, you know, we're not robots. You know, it's like, I just think it's important to check in with yourself and realize, like, okay, I know that I was supposed to do this today. This is my batching day. I was supposed to do it, but I'm exhausted and I don't feel like putting my makeup on. I don't feel like doing that. Like, don't be hard on yourself. Just say, you know what? I'm going to flop it. Today's going to be a residential day. I'm going to wear my pajamas. I may not even take a shower, and I'm going to just hang out and get some mindless things done that make me feel good. So that way I can show up for the things that I need to do when it's time for me to do it. And I'm feeling creative again. So anyway, that's my rant about that.
I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that analogy, the residential or the freeway. Huh?
I feel the older that I get, the more I'm in the residential lane.
And I'm the opposite. The older I get, the more I'm in the freeway lane. Like, it's like, I've got so much to get done, you know?
Right.
So that's
like, anyway. You're in that motorcycle. There's a little cart next to you. I'll sit in that cart.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, with the goggles on. And a scarf.
Exactly. Yeah. I love aviator that. Hat on. I like that.
Yeah, totally.
I can see it for you. I'm not going to lie. I still want to do it,
especially,
man.
Down A1.
Exactly.
Go down to Cali.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's so cool. And Brosia, when did you start the podcast?
I started it, maybe a year and a half ago, I want to say. I can't even remember. Isn't that funny? It might have been 2 years ago now. I'm losing track. I think we're about to record season 4, and we generally take about 5 to 6 weeks breaks between. And every season we like to focus on something very specific. Mm-hmm. And the last one was all about storytelling. This one is going to be shorter segments, and we're going back into the business side. So we're going to be talking about business success. I always like to leave the audience with top 5 tips. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I feel like as our attention span starts to shrink more and more, and we just want to regurgitate information. I started doing this thing. Actually, Gordon Mill is the one who inspired me to do this. I started speeding up the timing on the podcast. I don't know if you guys ever do that.
Me too.
You do it all the time?
Because of Gordon, because Gordon said to do it too. And like, I can consume so much more.
Yeah. So I've been doing that lately, but I've realized that I kind of hit that mode, and it happens around 15 to 20 minutes where I start to zone out. Like, I realize I'm not listening to it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I missed something. And then I have to back it up to listen. So I'm trying out the shorter time frame to see if that works. But again, we talked about that before we started recording. Like, I like the idea of figuring things out in the process and inviting others around us to figure that out with us, and like give us their feedback. So that way, you know, that's what includes community. Like, you know, sometimes we have to pivot or shift or change or, you know, reignite our focus. And part of doing that too is trying out things that, you know, like looking at the stats, like, huh, okay, I see where people were dropping off, or this was one of the highest hitting ones, and then just going from there. I imagine you guys probably do the same thing, but yeah, that's kind of the new one that we're going to be doing for the next season.
Let our listeners know, what's the name of the podcast?
It's called Successful Stylist Podcast. And so it's part of the Successful Stylist Academy umbrella. And, you know, we focus on the podcast specifically because of the very thing I was talking about, like backing up 10, 15 minutes ago when I was saying, I think there's a lot of stigma that surrounds business and marketing, and people get overwhelmed by it. And so it's like, if we uncover little tangible things that we may do on a regular basis that we're not even aware of, or just a way of looking at things or a way of approaching, or, you know, there's little things like, how do you handle confrontation with clients? Well, it's not that black and white, right? I mean, there's different kinds of personalities. You're going to handle different personalities in a very different way. So we talk about those little tangible things that you can do on a regular basis to grow, but also just like how to change your mentality. And sometimes figuring out ways to double down too, because there's ways of being able to create two things in one too. And that's a part of growing with those marketing strategies. Without it feeling so heavy, I guess. So yeah, that's what we really wanted to focus on with the podcast.
I love it. I love your podcast, by the way. I like the idea of the 20-minute the 20-minute thing. I know that I know that we ran over on Gordon when we did his a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. I was like, Gordon, we're gonna get to 21 minutes, and he goes, no, we're gonna get under 20. Guess what we got to? 21 minutes. Give me some. Yep.
21 minutes. Nice job.
21.
It's minutes. Hard. It's hard. I mean, what? You know, we like to talk. That's what we do in this industry. That's what we're good at. We love chatting with one another, and we're figure outers. So it's like when you're trying to do a figure outing session and you're talking, it's just like, how do you do that in under 20 minutes? It's hard.
Yeah. He was cursing us. Cause now I have to go back and edit 1 minute out of it. So,
but he didn't. We're at 21 minutes.
Yeah.
I think we're at like 24. I think he edited down to 21. He's like, oh, these boys. Well, I think also because there's two of us, you know, it's hard to stay within the parameter when it's two of us. Neither one of us like to shut up.
See, that's what you guys can negotiate on. Like, there's two of us. So 20 plus 20, that's 40. We should have 40 minutes.
Gordon, if you're listening in, and I know you are, we should talk really slow, though, because he likes to speed it up really, really fast. That's for you.
I know if you're a fast talker and you do that, then you're kind of screwed, aren't you? I'm a fast talker. Sometimes people are like, you need to slow down. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's just I like coffee. I have limited time. I'm kind of in the same space as what you guys were talking.
I was 2 weeks ago. I was listening to Russell Brand on Rogan's podcast, and he speaks so incredibly fast and like a normal cadence that I actually had to go back down to like normal cadence because he was speaking so fast. I couldn't keep up, you know. Dude is like, he's like speedy when he talks. I don't even know how he processes information like that. But, you know, Gordon was like, and he kids all the time. He's like, I don't know who when we first came on the scene, he was like, I don't know who these guys are. I don't know where they came from or anything like that. And he shouldn't have known about us. But, dude, he has definitely been the lifeline of our podcast pretty much since day one.
Mentor.
Yeah, incredible. We reached out to him like right before or right when we started the podcast. I think it was right before. And I remember when he DM'd me back, and I was like a little kid, like it was our first hit. Like, oh my God, this dude's actually talking to us, you know?
I love that.
And then he's been, yeah, like Tony said, like he's just been a mentor, you know, pretty much since the very, very beginning. And I mean, we've flown to Chicago to have lunch with him, you know, once, and like, just, he always makes space for us. He always makes room for us. And like, honestly, you know, I never thought I could say this, but like, he's like a good friend of ours now, you know, and it's incredible. Like, and I'm sure with you too, like he'll just pick up the phone and give us a chat. And I absolutely love that. And I honor him so much because I just think he's such a great guy. I mean, not for what he's done in the industry, but just what he's done for us. You know, he's been amazing.
He's a good people. I mean, he keeps it real too. I think that's the thing, is that our industry, and even if we go back to the social landscape that we were just talking about with social media, a lot of it is just like this whole showy thing. And I think we're just kind of getting tired of seeing that. We want to see the real deal. It's like, show us what life really is like, and talk to us about the things that are really going on in your head. And don't just feed me the things that I want to hear. Like, tell me the hard stuff, but also like, let's find a solution for it. And that's exactly what Gordon Miller is.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's funny because what you're seeing on social now is like, you're seeing people try to be authentic. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, try to be. I love that you just said it like that.
You know, they're trying to be authentic. You're like, whoa,
yeah.
Like that, yeah, that falls flat, you know. And I'm sure, listen, I'm right. Sure we're guilty of it as well, you know. But you know, I also have this feeling about social media. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. Hold on. I have this thing about social media too, is that I'm okay with the highlights. Right. Like, I'm only okay. People criticize like the highlights and stuff. And it's like, what? Like, I don't want your grief. I have enough grief in my life. I just kind of want to enjoy your life. I just want to enjoy life, and I want to enjoy you being happy and stuff. Like, I don't have to see the grind, the hustle and the grind all the time. Like, I'm okay. I miss the days, bro. I totally miss the days of taking a picture of your food. Right. Like, I wish social media was that again, because
let's bring it back.
So, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I might have to do that now, but it might I would much rather hear that than hear about like your lame political opinions.
All right. I'm going to post some steaks tonight on,
you totally should. Totally. Let's do it.
Tag me.
Let's do it. We're going to tag you.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just do food posts for the next couple of days. I'm down. Let's bring it back, man.
I do love me some food, guys. Actually, I am one of those people at the restaurant. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm one of those people that brings my phone out to take a picture. If it's a beautiful plate, I'm like, hold on. It never goes anywhere. It just sits in my phone, but I still do it.
Oh, you have to post it now.
Yeah, I know, right? I should like do a photo bomb
bring
of
back
all
food. Bring back food pics.
Bring back food pics.
I love it.
It probably is a hashtag, actually.
Oh, we have to check that out now. Yeah, I'm definitely posting it now, Tony. Yeah, do your steaks tonight and all that stuff. I long for that. But you know, even with that, so when we first started the podcast, and I wasn't really on Instagram prior to that, a little bit, playing around with it a little bit. But until when we started the podcast is really when I got into it. And to me, like, Facebook was so gross, you know, during those times.
Yeah.
We started in 2018. It was just 2017, 18. And it was just so, so gross. So like, I loved Instagram because I felt like as hairstylists, we were kind of hanging out and we were kind of showing our work and stuff like that. And like, I was blown away by the work that's out there. And it was really a positive space. And now I don't feel that way anymore. Right. Like I go to TikTok for mindless, like having fun, because now kind of like Instagram, like we have to do it. We kind of do it. But it's not all like just fun and kind of like, let's celebrate each other anymore. It's kind of like, oh, I have an opinion and here it is. And here's my format to do it. And I'm not really criticizing anybody about it, but just for my own thing, I don't consume Instagram anymore. I use Instagram. I don't consume it. I consume like TikTok, because to me, and how that algorithm works is I only look and follow exactly what I want to.
You know, I'm with you on that. I don't love the political statements or wanting to kind of, I don't know, just interject constantly. I don't know that anything is getting done with that. And it's like, okay, if you want to state your opinion, go ahead. But I think it's got to be done in a way where it's like, what's being productive here? Like, I think for me, I always go back to intention. I hate to be like an intention, like, I don't know. I feel like that's like, if I have a thing written on my tombstone, it's going to be like intention. It's going to be the word.
Intention. Right.
There's got to be some intention behind it though. You know, it's just like, it's really hard to be in that space where it's just like, reading about the doom and gloom, like, let's not do that. You know, let's be better than that. Let's do something about it. So I'm with you on that. I like to celebrate as well, but I do think there's got to be something in the middle. Like, just be yourself and you don't have to show off, but then you also like, just show up. If you're going to do it, show up for a reason, have some intention behind it. Otherwise, like, it's okay. You can just consume and scroll. And I don't go on there nearly as much as I used to. So I'm kind of in that same place as you. I think we're all feeling it.
Yeah. Again, I've kind of gone over to TikTok just because, you know, my feed is exactly what I want it. And you know what? It's not all that other stuff. It's other nerdy stuff like history and that stuff, you know,
or how to do things
or travel. Like, mine's travel history and how to do things. And these are things that I'll never do, but for whatever reason, they're in my feed and I get fascinated by them. Or weird stuff, you know? Actually, that would be a good,
mine's filled with like barbecue kind of stuff like that.
Exactly. Mr. Barbecue.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
So you guys are getting food in there somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, totally.
He, Tony has a competition barbecue team. So, he's always, over there smoking and stuff.
Mine's all motivational stuff. It's so funny. Like, it's kind of like reflective of the books that are sitting collecting dust on my side table. I have so many motivational books. I don't know what the deal is. Every time I go to the bookstore, inevitably every book that I have in my mind, it's all like in the self-help section. So self-help, motivational and intentional junkie. I don't know what the deal is, but same thing with TikTok. I just can't get enough of it. I don't know. Maybe it just helps me when I'm feeling stuck. So yeah, like, we all have our thing.
You could save us from calling you in the morning. If you did, you just gave three little points and you talk about 3 points real quick every morning. We'll just watch the scroll. We'll just scroll you and get our feed instead of calling you in the morning for a pep talk.
That's what I'm saying.
Pep talk. You know, it's kind of funny. A long time ago, this was like years ago, I did this thing on stories that was called Coffee Talk in Traffic. And I did it every single day. And then I kind of got like tired of doing it. And it was like a lot of the Snapple sayings, like, did you know that bees, I don't know. I can't even think of an example right now, but that was fun for me until it wasn't fun. And then I stopped doing it. I guess that's my point. Like, if it's not fun and you're not enjoying it and there's not a purpose behind it, then don't do it. Just like, it's that simple. But I like your guys' idea with like a motivational Monday or something where it's like, something that you learn, just passing that along. So I don't know. It could be that simple, but, I don't know. My wheels are turning now. I can just add that onto my plate of more things right. I could do. Why not? Right. Just throw another ball in the juggling act.
I listen, I like it. I would tune in. I'll put you, you'd be in my scroll, you know, you'd be on my TikTok scroll there. I love that. You know, Ammon used to do something like that. Like Ammon would go out for a jog every morning and he would leave you with a couple.
Tyreek does that, right? Tuesdays.
Tyreek. Do you follow Tyreek?
I don't know if I do or not, actually. I mean, it's not ringing any bells. I haven't seen the stories.
He's amazing.
So now I'm going to have to go look.
Yeah, I am Tyreek, I think. Is it I am Tyreek or I am Tyreek Jackson? Either way, if you get to I am Tyreek, it'll come up.
Okay, cool.
T-Y-R-E.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
He's a fantastic guy, man. Just what a lovely person to have in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, like super positive and. He lives in the barber space and just a great, 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 great dude. We like Tyreek a lot.
Yeah, he's been on a podcast a few times and just, yeah, he's very motivational, very just uplifting. And he does that on Tuesdays. It's really nice.
And it's real talk. Cool. Talk about real talk. It's real talk, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's live and he'll do stuff like, oh, you want to buy a house, but you got $300 Nikes on, or you got $300 shoes, or you've got like, and you wonder why you can't get a house. You like, he's like, it's real. He breaks it down. He's a great, great dude, man. I like Tyreek a lot.
Oh, I like that conversation. Actually, that is totally right up my alley. That's funny. My husband and I have had that conversation lately. We've just been talking about that. So, sorry, hairstylist. I do have that's the one thing I think that's really important. You know, we are touching a lot of money, if regardless if you're keeping it or not. So it's like, okay, fine. So I call it the tattoo syndrome. So these are the people that are like, I can barely afford my rent. I can't afford to go to this educational event. But they show up to work with a new tattoo. It's like you gotta try to prioritize things differently, because what are you doing for yourself? You're the only one that's benefiting or hurting from it. So what do you want to do differently about it? So yeah, I call the tattoo theory. That's a little tough love. That's my tough love of the day. But you know, that's something that's important to me, because I started doing like tiny amounts of investments when I was younger, and it's always been something I always reinvest back in. And this is something that I want other people to learn from. This is something that I want other people to like, just sock away a tiny bit, you know, open up some kind of a simple plan or a Roth IRA or something like that, you know, and then real estate and owning a business. There are two ways that you can actually make the most amount of money. And that's something that I want to pass on to our industry, because we are totally capable of this. You guys, we have this where we don't have to talk about our pricing methods in on Instagram anymore. Like, we don't need to talk about how much money we're making. Like, how much money are you keeping? Let's focus on that, you know, because I'm retiring in 7 years, like not actually retiring, but from behind the chair. And then I'm going to move on to something else. So I want you guys to be able to do the same thing. And there is room for that wealth, that generational wealth. So anyway, I won't go into that. I think that's going to be a separate podcast in itself. But I think it's really important that we kind of like hold on to that. And we think about like, don't focus on what you're making. What are you keeping? And what are you going to do with it? And how are you going to have that money make money for you in the future? Because we absolutely have that. We can totally do it.
Yeah, I think that is a podcast. I think that is, you know, it's not about what you're making, is what, you know, it's what about how much you're keeping. And I think we could have a small talk conversation, a 20 minute podcast on that. I think that's brilliant, because it's spot on. It's true.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. Let's do a 20 minute recording on that in the future.
100. Okay. We're doing it. We're definitely doing it. Funny, it's funny that you said tattoos, because that's exactly what Tyreek talked about. It's shoes, tattoos, and weed. Where are you spending your money?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's okay to have a little bit of it, you know, but you just sock away a little bit for your future.
Well, you have, but I think you have to do that first, right? You put that first, and then where does the shoes, the tattoos, and the weed become priority? Oh my gosh, this is awesome. We can do a whole series on that. On what are you keeping? What do you?
Oh, a series on keeping. That's a good one, guys. Yeah, I would listen to that.
Keeping sane.
What are you keeping?
What are you keeping? Keeping sane.
I lost that a long time ago.
Sanity? Oh, yeah. That's why we started a podcast. That's awesome. And Marcia, how long have you been coaching?
Oh, coaching kind of started a little bit by accident because I've run an apprentice program for a long time. So I started leading the apprentice program for a salon I worked for 15 years. I did that for, like 10 years, perhaps. And then when I bought into the salon that I'm now in, that's when I started coaching, I guess. So yeah, around 8 or 9 years ago, I started coaching and I started out with a hairstylist. And then I was like, okay, hairstylist is great. I want to like focus on tangible steps. But then I was like, okay, it actually starts with a salon owner. So it's like, if you teach a salon owner how to empower and lead better, then that trickles down to the stylist. And now my newer thing has actually been working with brands. So I'm running like the education team for Air Professional, for example, and I'm helping Pharmagel with her affiliate program. And I'm offering like private courses for her. And that trickles down like the brands, they reach more salon owners and the salon owners trickle down to the stylist and the stylist, they, you know, so it's just like finding a way of being able to funnel and empower, that's, I know it's an overused word, but it's a word that I'm very passionate about. Like, how can we lead the conversation and have it trickle on to other people rather than just the one person? So, coaching has been a thing that I've been most passionate about. And I guess I would say more consulting than coaching, just because it's like, I want to instill the thought, but the action comes from you. And, you know, we like to check in, I guess that's the coaching element of it, but really we have a lot more in us than I think we want to give ourselves credit for. And imposter syndrome is something that we hear about all the time. And we all feel at some point. And you guys, I'm in my 40s now. Like, it's weird to even say that loud. I'm 43 years old and I even hit imposter syndrome. So it's just like, I think we need to understand that that's human. You're human, like, congratulations. So what do we do about that? And how can we surround ourselves with people that when we do hit imposter syndrome, that they can kind of help us with that? And that's where consultation comes in.
Dude, I mean, as far as imposter syndrome, it's like, it's a daily struggle with me personally. You know, I mean, even like, I sound like I'm name dropping because I am, but like, even when we got to work with Sam last month, like there was all this like, why is Sam working with us? You know, these are all the internal conversations that I'm having, or why is this all happening, you know, for us? And it was kind of hard to, I understood it even at the time. I understood, oh, this is just imposter syndrome, like creeping up it. And by the way, that's a nice step too, when you just go, oh, stop it. That's just imposter syndrome, but it's still there a little bit. I think you just, you know, like in yoga, you just have to kind of like recognize it and then let it move on, you know, or recognize what, yeah, and then move on. But I think it's a daily struggle, I think, is where I'm going with this. And you know, if you just recognize it and move past it, then that's the solution to it. Don't think it's not going to be there. Don't beat yourself up because it's there.
Don't feed it.
Yeah. Don't, that's a perfect way to say it.
Yeah. Don't feed it. That's a good one. Yeah. Don't feed the beast.
because all imposter syndrome does is keep you paralyzed.
Yeah.
It keeps you from moving forward, you know, like that. You can't do anything with that energy whatsoever, except for let it go. Otherwise it consumes you.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So much, so many things in life like that, you know, that just like that consume you. But that's, you know, we talk about, you're talking about being 43 and Tony and I are in our early 50s. And like, it's, the great thing about being in the early 50s is the conversations that you have with yourself, you know, or being able to like not being, they never, again, the conversations don't go away, but they don't paralyze you anymore, or you have a different outlet for them, you know, or let them.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. I know. I look forward to that. I mean, I think more of that. And even talking about it too, just like being able to talk about it with the people that you trust that you can lean on. And then, yeah, I think exactly what you said, just being able to recognize it instead of just like, nope, this isn't happening, or letting it paralyze you. Just like, I see you, and now you can go and move on to the next thing. So it's easy to let it go when you just like recognize it and just move forward.
It's interesting too, because the conversations that you have with yourself when I was younger, it would be a reflection of another person. Now I just accept it as a reflection of myself. You know, I just like even that imposter syndrome, like
that's a good one.
you know, that'd be Tony's fault for whatever reason, you know, but as you get older, you understand that. No. This is you. You're putting this out there.
This and you're you. Having
these thoughts. You know what I mean? So like,
so every time you say it's my fault, I'm like, oh, Corey, no. That's your
exactly. Completely. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you know, it's just, yeah, it's you, bro. Figure it out and let it go. And the most,
it's so true,
is to let it go. At least for me, that's it. You know, seek for peace, let it go. Seek peace and let it go, you know.
Seek peace, let it go. I like that.
Yeah.
That's going to go on your tombstone.
it certainly can, because once again, as I've gotten older, like, peace is all that matters, you know, in everything, because it just, I think back to what we were saying before, like, whatever consumes you. That's awesome. Ambrosia, you're amazing. I really, really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you.
And I would we could do this every day, because it just felt like three friends hanging out and having a regular conversation. It didn't feel like a podcast at all.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I want it to feel like.
It's a quick hour too.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you guys. Let's do this again. I like the challenge of doing the 20-minute segment. I think we should totally do that. So I mean, I just like, let's parlay right into that next one. And I love chatting with you guys. Honestly, I do. And, you know, just like even like our seldom mornings when we have a conversation, just like on the way to work, like it's nice to just check in with each other, see how everything's going on your end of the country, and right. And talk about real things. You know, I mean, these yeah, I know. I mean, you guys are at least having better weather than I am. So at least I can live vicariously through you for now while I'm here, just like under the clouds. So, but thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, guys.
And Brooke, how can people find you? Like, give us all your deets.
So you can find me under Ambrosia Carey pretty much on every platform, or Successful Stylist Academy. If you want to check out more about the business and marketing stuff that we're doing, we're starting to just lend more like little tiny tips here and there to help you grow your business. And that's important to me because, you know, as I mentioned before, that's part of my exit strategy, right? Like, we have to make sure that we're passing the baton. So I'm excited to you know, cultivate stronger relationships with all you guys who really want to, you know, when you're ready for growth, then that's where we come in. We're here for you to be able to help you do that in a way that makes you feel like you can have your own version of it. So anyway, yeah, I look forward to connecting with more of you guys, and feel free to reach out to me. I always get back, and I want to thank you guys again for having me on. I'm excited about it. I'm already looking forward to our 20-minute session. Like,
oh, it's happening.
Let's get that on the books.
Here, we're gonna schedule it. Miss Ambrosia Carey, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.